listeners remaining out there probably after a few long, arduous minutes of trying to connect the connect ourselves with the radio station. I guess, like I said, I probably have a baker's dozen of listeners left after it's been 17 minutes. So I will just consider this my therapy for the day, I suppose. Just for the sake of chatter, I know that most people have probably tuned out. So this is where I can probably start to say everything I always wanted to say. No, I'm kidding. So we'll just babble away. Let's just do this reality check here on what's going on in our world, which has kind of been heavy on a lot of people's lives. Hearts, I mean. I've seen this so heavily on people's hearts. I've seen a lot of changes in people in this environment. And it's kind of scary because I think we've seen a lot of hardening of hearts. And I think we've seen a lot of confusion and a lot of waiting. When we get, you know, we have ourselves under this excruciating lockdown that is absolutely foolish and ridiculous. It's not of any relevance at all. There are literal articles coming out specifically explaining that. Even a study in Denmark came out. I don't have it in front of me, of course. But the fact is that they show there is no marked increase, improvement, whatever you want to call it. There's no benefit showing there. Well, there's a study that shows there's no benefit to masks. So what's weird is then you get into speaking with people on the left. Boy, they want those masks. They want them now. They want everyone wearing them to strip away our identity. Why? I haven't yet gotten my finger on it. I don't know what they want exactly. This Danish study finds that there is no, quote, headline, no clear evidence face masks protect wearers from COVID-19 infections. Okay, so basically, this is one of the farces that's taken over the airwaves, that's taken us over, that is basically, I'm not sure what it is, folks. I mean, I'll be honest. I think it's okay once in a while to say you don't understand. I did explain here recently that there is a history of mask wearing. There's a history of mask mandates. It's a control thing. It strips away your identity. They have shown that mask wearing strips away your identity. I worked with a guy last Friday night late. So, you know, a guy works at a military, medical facility. Obviously very liberal. I can't see his face. He's got this mask all the way up. Very cantankerous and debative and combative. Really interesting. I mean, it's like one thing that really I frustrate with is it's so important to me to be factually correct and accurate. And I always think of multiple verses, scriptures, which are important to me. But the one of all is a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his own opinion. Okay? That can be like a fool doesn't want to know the truth. A fool wants to feed his what? Emotions. His agenda. He's staked his claim. He wants to lie there. He's not going to let it go. You think about, you know, staking a claim. Going back to the wild, wild west. You know, you stake a claim on bad land. And it happened. I grew up in Montana. We have saline seep. There is some areas that are just unbearable. My wife's hometown's in Montana, in a big valley to the south of there, well, and to the north. It's very saline seep. That's just, it's maybe old riverbed, waterbed, lakebed. There's tons of salt coming up out of the earth. Most likely, maybe it's leftover post, you know, diluvian post-flood. Okay, but once you get your land planted there, you start trying to make it happen. You get homesteaders coming in. They plant their stake. They realize they got a problem. What's the best thing to do? Do you get up right away and move? Or do you sit there and hack it out and fight it out and try to make it work? That's the difference. That's wisdom. Wisdom, I think, through my life, is like when you figure out something's not working and something's not right, you change. You run to the problem and you run to the solution fast, okay? Foolishness is trying to ride a dead horse. It's trying to make chicken salad out of chicken you know what. Okay, that is not what I think God does. Now, God's got power, great power, magnificent, fantastic faithfulness. He's done miracles in each and everyone's lives. Some of us are more willing to acknowledge and accept it than others, or be aware of it. And it is sad to me. I kind of had a thing this weekend. I was just breaking down a little bit. I don't understand. I mean, I feel, and maybe you feel this way, and maybe we're biased, and maybe we're, you know, whatever, but it's so sad to me that I have people around me. I want unity, and I want love, and I'm not talking unity over political stuff. I'm talking, like, just the spirit of Jesus transforming us on the spot, having love being the genesis of our actions and activities. And so many people, I think, live and operate in the flesh. And I'm not sure how all that works out. Is it better? You know, I mean, what does God see? He sees one of us maybe broken. Well, let's look at the extremes. You got people, I'll never forget, you know, decades ago when I was helping or involved with some friends that were doing some prison ministry stuff. I remember meeting guys that were so rough and so brazen and so brash and so supposed, you know, foul mouth, who had come to know Jesus Christ, and they were super happy. They were elated. They were liberated. And now they were cleaning up their lives. And then you contrast that with second and third generation Christians or more that are as lukewarm and vanilla as a man can get, okay? But, oh, they're, you know, prima facie perfect. On the surface, they look like they would do everything right. They take no risks. They say nothing of risk. But on the human scale, where God says we look at the outside and he looks at the inside, on the human scale, we're checking the boxes. Well, that guy's a really good guy. He dresses right. He speaks right. He even eats the right food. He drives the speed limit. He doesn't buy too nice of cars. He, you know, he is nice to his family. He's a good employee. Check, 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 check. But he's lukewarm. How often do you hear Jesus come out of his mouth? Man, when you've got the Holy Spirit boiling up in you, you can't contain it. You can't keep it in. Then you get a guy who's broken. And now he's liberated. He's freed. But man, he looks like sin. According to the man, according to us, tattooed bodies, certain mannerisms and behaviors. Jesus knows his heart. Who did Jesus attract to? Honestly, he attracted to the broken, to the prostitutes, right? And to our equivalent probably of people that struggled with addiction. Why? I've mentioned it before, and I'll ask you again, as believers, do not buy political rhetoric that somebody who struggles with most sins. I'm going to preface that. I know for a fact that when you get into certain sexual sins, okay, you're gone, okay? Pedophilia, done. Over, done. I say eliminate you from the earth, eliminate your DNA. It's crystal clear. They've done study after study. These people don't come back around. They're, you know, they're demented for life. Okay? But you, let's take that out of the equation. It's kind of like that argument they always throw in about abortion. Well, what about the stepdaughter who gets raped by her stepdad or whatever? Okay, fine. I say, then go do the abortion. And not that I think it's right, folks. Don't get me wrong. But you have to eliminate that argument because it's like 0.1% or whatever it is. Who knows? It's teeny. And it's not relevant. Honestly, I don't even think it's that low or that high. They'll say it is, but I don't care. It's like you need to look at the bulk, you know, the facts, the overall overbearing reality of the facts. And on the abortion topic, since I ended up there, can you imagine, you know, we get the left going, follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. Lie, lie, lie. What do we follow the science until it comes to abortion? Well, the science says it's a baby. But we don't. Well, yeah, it's a baby, but, well, it's not really a baby. It's a massive tissue. Folks, I don't know if you've seen, back in the 80s, there was a movie called The Silent Scream. I don't like saying troubling things because I know there's people out there whose stomachs are a little bit weak for it. Kind of reminds me of the movie The Passion of the Christ. There were people that just couldn't handle it. Well, that is what Jesus went through. And, you know, that movie was tough. It was a tough watch. But you're watching, I think, a providentially divinely inspired movie, but you're watching kind of a recap of what Jesus endured for you. It helps you to understand what he was about and what he did. If Jesus could go through the intense, horrid, rotten suffering for a couple days with no food, no water, I mean, whipping, beating, having his skin peeled off with the way they whipped. These people were disgusting, okay? These people were disgusting. God allowed a time, kind of a peak time, as I mentioned previously, for all these groups to culminate simultaneously. All of the religious groups, the power groups, you had Israel, you had Rome, you know, you had other countries coming through. You had Sadducees, Pharisees, and whatnot. I mean, who else was there? We don't even know. Can you imagine? Because of who God was, and I hate to say it, but who the devil was, can you imagine what other people or entities may have been present? You know, so, I mean, God allowed this heinous activity to rise up. It's interesting, is it not? I mean, this is going to be an interesting comparison that somebody's going to get real mad about. But Jesus endured the, I believe, nastiest beating probably that man has ever taken. He was pure. He was God and he was man, but he was pure. But because he was man in the flesh and he endured the temptations that you and I endured and he overcame them, because of that, he was able to pay the price for our sins. He was a propitiation for our sins, okay? Now, this is going to be kind of a bizarre jump, but don't take it too terribly literally. But I believe Trump, honestly, has taken more persecution than any man ever. Okay, people would argue this or that. Where is our compassion? What if God made a man named Donald Trump who was prepared for a time such as this. But he gave us this free will, the choice of how to handle him and what to do with him. And we've become uber destructive and consumptive. We tore this man down because why? We don't like his personality. Why? He's a mirror, okay? He's got knowledge and information you and I don't. But he says what's on his mind. He does what he says. He has every intent of doing it, and he's not feeding lines. Why people can't see the Joe Biden lie makes me sick and sad, okay? Even though there's so much election fraud, voter fraud in this election, folks, it is over the top, beyond anything you can even fathom. It is legit. It is real. This whole concept of, well, it's not widespread enough with Bill Barr ducking out the attorney general. You know, something ironic. I get it. Donald Trump's mouth is not politically correct at this time. Donald Trump has spoken what's on his mind. He's called people, he's given people labels that fit, but they're very uncomfortable and they're often detrimental. He's said things that could be phrased much better. He uses the word I too much. Aren't you glad that I was elected? I am taking care of you. Okay, that's his nature. But he's trying too hard. Oftentimes what we get, we'll get grown adults with a spark of a child in their heart. Oftentimes, when you see this, Donald Trump may have a love language called words of affirmation. He may thrive on positivity coming his way. Now, is he positive? Not always. I'm not, you know. But he also obviously believes in acts of service. He wants a man's actions to match their words, okay? So what if there's a man made by God who was designed, as I said, for a time such as this? Think about it. I mean, so then it becomes a reflection of who we are. It's like the book of Judges. We need a king. We need a king. This country needs a leader, and God picks that leader, gives him to us. Not only are, you know, well, the dark side, the left, sadly and sorry, creates this whole narrative, this absolute lie. Folks, the devil is the accuser. Get that in your head. He is a dark individual. And when you start to get close to home, where God wants you, whether it be your physical home or your spiritual home or your activities, whatever it is, you're going to get some heavy, heavy pressing from the dark side. The more you start to impact people and affect them, the darker and heavier it's going to get. I personally believe I've seen this for a considerable amount of time. I really do. I'm not saying I'm some kind of great, you know, whatever, but I'm just, I love what I do. I want to share with people. I've got my perspective, so be it. But I've seen some of the hardest spiritual persecution that you can imagine. Dark, heavy, nasty, and the accuser comes and he plants seeds in your mind. He'll go after those around you. If you have a family and you're hard to get through, he'll find that entry point. You need to pray for a covering over your family. You need to have a spiritual body that's willing to help you. And some people may not believe it. And you know, you'll get pastors, well, my life's great. I was talking to a guy here a couple weeks ago. My life's great. We don't have any, I don't think that we have any spiritual, or whatever you call it, you know, spiritual battle or whatever. And I was like thinking, I know you. And I know your sermons, and you're probably right. because they're all watered down, feel good sermons. Nobody comes out of this guy's sermons any better than they went in. They just feel a little bit better. They got a smile, a little chuckle. They walk out and get back in the car, and the problems just join them again, and they haven't learned how to cope. Devil won't bother you then. The devil bothers you when you start to hammer the truth, when you start to hit that button. He's going to shut you down. Odd comparison. I've mentioned a gentleman I know relatively well who's top in this industry, and he's been to Fort Knox and, you know, to verify and audit a variety of things, and he's in tight with the Fed, believe it or not, if that's even possible, or at least a chairman or two, and so on and so forth. And he was telling me, he said, everybody says bad things about the Fed, they don't even care. But the minute you start to get close to affecting them, shutting them down, hurting them, whatever that may be, people disappear. Well, my comparison right now is that with the devil, man. You start making a difference in God's people, you start touching their lives, and he's coming your way. Be sure of it. And why is it God sets everything up? We spread his word through word of mouth, and then we pray for each other. Isn't that wild? I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, and it's got power. We pray for ourselves. That works too. But there's so much more power in groups where two or more are gathered. I'm there with you. Why is that? I say it's glory. I say that he wants the glory. When you get large groups vested in prayer, you start to see amazing things happen, or large groups that witness the prayer, you see great things happen. God wants that to happen. We're at a time right now, Lord, where we need to serve you. We need to put you first, God, in our everything. Everything. We need to trust God. We have to get up and take action for him, but we've got to wait for marching orders. And I know when I say wait, people are like, well, electionary, there's not a lot of time. Now, let's look at some different scenarios. I mean, these are uncomfortable, but what if Biden does get in? What if Biden gets in and the conservatives gain a decent majority, but then things get so awry in 4 years, not much happens? But maybe the people get fed up. They've had their left wing fill, and maybe we start to see a true revamping of our government. Maybe the election fraud will be brought out. I mean, can you imagine Donald Trump? He came in at a time, there is no other time like it. Hillary Clinton was supposed to be the victor. How pathetic is that? That's why she lost her stuff. People don't realize she went and threw, when she lost in 16, I was discussing this with a relative lately, and, you know, they broke the algorithm. There's people that actually say that Trump got so many votes this time, they broke the algorithm again. What does that mean? Someone was telling me, asking me what an algorithm is. An algorithm is basically the outline or the wireframe of a program. It is the mathematical, operational definition of how the program is built. You know, it's kind of like, well, if this, then that. If this, then that. So if he gets this many, move him over here and do this and do that. But they get the parameters are too limited, and they can't go too far too fast because it becomes so apparent and visible. Last week, I think I was going to touch on it. I don't know that I ever did. But there are people that are respectable people stating that what we're seeing now is exactly what we saw in Venezuela. They actually used, now you might not know what that means, we've got Hugo Chavez. And Hugo Chavez is not a good man. And he got into office and he made some crazy things. He made some crazy statements where he said, oh, you know, he was so popular. He goes, if you ever don't like me, and he put in a law where only 20% of the population could sign, or maybe he and others could sign a petition and he would leave. Well, that started to happen. An election was coming. And so now they're saying people who were there, CIA operatives who were there, are saying that we are literally going the way of Venezuela. And how did that work? They contacted this company, Dominion. Dominion couldn't do what he wanted to do. So he and his people went to Smartmatic. Smartmatic is another one of the, it's involved. It's part of the Dominion process. By the way, before our elections, folks, now tell me if this makes sense. We had a COVID, whatever you want to call it, stimulus bill. Nancy Pelosi comes in with her radical, obnoxious, overwhelming overtake and says, no, this bill is not good enough. Nothing is ever good enough for Nancy Pelosi or the left or Schumer. This is what they do. So they come in and say, this isn't good enough. And because of the urgency of the situation, we, meaning the conservatives in the House and the Senate, agreed apparently to let her put in all kinds of junk. You know, I was listening the other day to a guy on TV who was complaining his restaurant's shut down and he's broke. And he's talking about how the Kennedy Arts Center got, you know, $400 million or whatever it was. And yet he's going broke and can't feed his family. We've got these parking lot, these huge empty malls vacated, getting bought up by companies like Amazon to park their delivery trucks. They're picking this stuff up at pennies on the dollar. This is a major overtake. It's interesting we get the Antifa, anti-fascists, and yet what is occurring while they're running around yelling and confusing everyone is fascism. The government's taking over everything. And as they do it, they're limiting it. They're creating the elite. We've had the elite, but the elite is becoming more and more specific. They love power. Isn't it ironic? I mean, money's great. Chase money, ooh, feels good. Power, power over people you don't know. Making them do whatever you want and whatever you say. Apparently, that's a drug like no other. We got this, you know, what happened in Cuba can't happen there. You know, we got people in Venezuela. They felt this gradual change, according to this CIA guy. It says here, from conversations with people from older generations, she, Rogliani, can understand why that was. Why changes for the worst would become the new normal as everyone went on with their daily lives until the next new normal took over. She says, I was just a kid when Chavez was elected, so I was shielded from a lot of the things that were going on, but I would still hear whispers from parents and adults. It became a really big thing that was going on, Rogliani said. Her parents, who'd been relatively apolitical, meaning without, started getting involved in monthly marches and organizing in their neighborhood against Hugo Chavez's policies. Her friends, whose parents worked in the oil industry, lost their jobs immediately after Chavez took office. and were later disappeared. Upheavals in other industries also followed, prompting many to flee the country as activist leaders against Chavez were murdered, tortured, and disappeared. Now, you're like, well, we're not there yet. Folks, you've got people that are talking about Donald Trump. They're talking about stringing him up. What kind of a legacy are we setting? I've heard people talk this way. These things are very uncomfortable. We have political issues that are so bad going on in this nation that it is only, we're just one step away, literally one step away. So again, the CIA guy, this, and it, why is it relevant? Because we're one step away. The irregularities, which is a lovely word, isn't it? These irregularities that we say we've seen taking place in this year's presidential election. You know what irregularities are? They're theft and lies, but what a beautiful name for them, right? They're eerily similar, it says, to voting manipulation that helped Hugo stay in power in 2004. If you remember a while ago, I kept saying the United States of Venezuela. This is what happens. I remember watching that stuff and going, wow, that is so bad. I can't believe how happy I am to be in a nation that doesn't experience this stuff. Well, apparently I was a little premature on that. What a crock of dew, right? What a crock of dew. We're being fed lies. How about follow the science? The nuclear family, what did Chavez do? He came in and he started to encourage immorality, broken homes, promised all this money, made speeches, encouraging women to leave their husbands and serve the government, basically making the government look like a husband, saying, we'll take care of you if you're being abused, or, you know, and if your husband's against this, turn him in. Millions disappeared, folks. America became frustrated, but maybe not frustrated enough. Venezuela is one of the most resource-rich nations on earth, so we paid attention. People have asked me, hey, where would you go? Where would you go if you could go anywhere? My wife and I, when her health was a little better, were traveling constantly looking for this. People are like, oh, Belize and Barbados. And, you know, well, these things, like Barbados is an island. It's a Caribbean island, right? I've been to multiple times to Tahiti, Fiji, you know, down in Australia, New Zealand, you know, Central America, South America. Of course, everyone's been to Mexico. I've been there so many times. The Caribbean. A ton of the islands all the way from, you know, the Great Exumas and the Bahamas all the way down to the southernmost island right off of Venezuela, St. Lucia. In my opinion, just saying, people have asked, a lot of people have asked, Costa Rica. I'll tell you why. Not only is it gorgeously beautiful, and I mean that, and it borders the Caribbean on one side and the Pacific on the other. What I like about Costa Rica, there are no natural resources. No one has, although they do have the greatest number of species of any nation in the world. Think about it, and they're tiny. They're tinier than over half of our states. The width of Costa Rica ranges from, I think, 60 to 100 miles, roughly. And the length is 200 and some miles. It's a tiny, tiny, tiny nation. In addition to that, they have a treaty with us and other allied nations to protect them. So we have Air Force bases there. We have military bases. The Great Britain does, and other nations do. France, of course, they're a real threat, right? But we're all there protecting them. And it's a good, healthy, clean nation. Crime is low. We have the DEA and all that down there watching what's flowing through because it's a, you know, for years it was a panhandle going from north to south. Now we've got every kind of transportation imaginable. Directly south of it is Panama. Some people like Panama. It's not as appealing to me. It's warm and nice, but there's nothing like Costa Rica. And I've been there a few times and been around, you know, the northernmost territory or section, you know, Papagayo up by Nicaragua. And then, you know, we've done the central and northernmost. We've been down to San Jose in the southeastern region. I wouldn't recommend that. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just not a big city guy. So for those of you who are looking, go check it out. Be aware, though, these nations are under fire right now. They're being devastated and destroyed. When we have crazy governors like we have in this nation, well, like we have in this state right now, Inslee, there's no reason for this ridiculous shutdown. He's exercising and abusing, I should say, he's abusing power that's far beyond him. He's shutting down businesses. It's one of these things where I guarantee you, this is hurting the conservative entrepreneur. It's destroying small business and mom and pop shops. Why would they want to do that? They want to lose all the taxes? They don't care. Why? Where are they getting the taxes? They've driven Boeing off. They've done all this stuff. Why would they want to drive it away? They want to get the eastern part of the state, especially in their control. This is, and they want to punish the eastern part of Washington. There's been different proposals for eastern Washington to merge with Idaho and create a new state. You'd have to have a two-thirds majority, roughly, in the Senate and the House, and president on your side, I think, to approve something like that, including the state legislature, which doesn't appear to be happening right now. It's about destroying. I've said it over and over. I'm going to break the record again. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What does the devil steal? He steals what God gives us, okay? God creates and God gives. The devil steals, kills, and destroys. We're God's creation. He wants us to kill ourselves spiritually, emotionally. He just wants to, you know, time to the spiritual entities is not like time to us. If he can bide the time and just get us past so that we're not, you know, we're just numb and off we go into the abyss, he wins. If we're not out making a change, every one of us has a sphere of influence we need to exercise in our lives. And we need to be sharing what God shares with us, with others. So as we're kind of wrapping here, I'm going to just run through some quick stuff, folks. With the whole shutdown, I was watching some videos from a year ago of my grandkids in school just dancing, singing, having a ball, doing plays at Christmas. You know, they're destroying everything good. The factually, scientifically proven fatality rate from coronavirus is less than 0.2%. That is a fact from the CDC. You can read other stuff other places. I have a strong mathematical background. And I learned one thing, liars figure and figures lie. There's all kinds of ways to combine and twist numbers and facts. But true statistics, you have to look at the whole package that's going into the variable. They'll say, oh, in this older population, it's at this level, and the younger's this. You have to look at the population spread. It is less than 0.2%. Then I'm hearing people are always saying, well, so-and-so died from COVID, okay? I want to see the evidence, not some coroner's report, because they get up to $42,000 dispersed. Here, fact checks, I've seen this. Oh, it's not true. So-and-so says that this entity and that entity get money if a person dies from COVID. Well, what they do is they put in false entities, inaccurate descriptions of who's getting paid and tell you, fact check, not true. Okay? That is not wise of us to buy that, to drink that Kool-Aid. We need to have wisdom. This is the flu. Everyone knows it's the flu. Nobody's got the courage or ability to overcome it. Prepare, folks. Trump says he's got some stuff coming. I mean, in the next few days, he said it's going to be big. He's said that before. We will wait and see. Let's hope he's right. As I run out of time rapidly. He says big things happening over the next couple days, and I have no time to cover it. I ran out of time with the technical stuff. Let's see what happens. These are the most interesting times in history. Praise God. Preserve and protect your finances, please. Not for me, for you. Have a great night. God bless. Bye-bye.